Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the no repeat guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country, and I'm Baylen Leonard, joined today by an actor, a performer, a musician. He first graced our screens in the starring role of Gunner Scott in the television show Nashville, and since then, he's been in an award-winning sitcom. He starred in movies. I saw him as a prince or two over Christmas, and he's remained a familiar face and a fan favorite in the country music community, Sam Palladio. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm really good. So welcome back to your homeland.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Is it?
It is, yeah. I mean, this is the longest stretch I've been in England for years. I've been here for about 3 months, so...
You are in the theatre. You're
I'm
on the stage.
I'm back on the boards. Yeah. This production of Oklahoma that's at the Wyndham's Theatre. Yeah, beautiful piece of theatre. And so it's been really... You know, I trained as a theatre actor. And I've always been looking for the right production or opportunity to come back and do a little theatre. And this job came along... In this show that's a sort of reimagined, modernized, much darker retelling of Oklahoma with a live bluegrass band, and Curly McLean, who I'm playing in the show, plays guitar, and it's, you know, so it's a really cool world that's been created. It felt like a good way to spend the summer, you know.
That's a great way to spend the
summer.
3 months
in London, see some family, get back on the stage, got my little old mug plastered around Leicester Square.
That must feel nice walking around. There's been this thing with kind of classic theatre in the past, I guess, I don't know, 5 or 10 years where they've taken theatre where some of it may have been problematic for today's audiences or have themes that would be done differently today, and kind of reimagining it and digging a little bit deeper. And that's kind of, Oklahoma is part of that.
Absolutely.
New tradition.
Yeah. It started, it was on Broadway in 2019. And sort of swept the Tonys, and it swept the Oliviers here earlier this year, and that's it. You know, the text hasn't changed, but actually you examine it with a modern lens and lean into those themes, and it's all there. You know, there's nothing hidden. You know, but you just expose it for what's there, and it's actually pretty modern for an 80-year-old musical. It could have been written yesterday. You know, the parallels to what's going on today in the States and with sort of gun control and all this, you know, it's all there in this piece of text, and leaning into that is quite shocking, you know, for some of the audiences.
Yeah,
I mean, this isn't Oklahoma. You go, actually, it is.
Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, yeah.
People, if they want to see you in this, they need to be quick, right?
It finishes September 2nd, so get your tickets, kids.
Tick tock. So you said you started out in the theater and training in theater, but this is your first time in the West End?
It's my second time.
Oh,
I did
run
straight out of drama school. I did a rock and roll musical called Dreamboats and Petticoats. It was like a jukebox musical.
Like
Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison and the Everly Brothers, and great soundtrack, you know. But that was back when I'd done nothing. It was my first job. But we're at the Savoy Theatre.
That's super exciting first job.
And then we went to the Playhouse Theatre. And I loved those few years, you know. So I have been on the boards, but never as a leading man. I was an understudy back then, and that was a show where I played, you know, played bass guitar. It was all like a live band, so we were all playing all that kind of stuff live, which was great.
What about Broadway?
Hey, you never know. I'd love to. It's definitely given me a taste, well, more of a taste. It's sort of reignited my love of theatre. I guess because, you know, we had a few years there, pandemic and whatnot, you know, we weren't playing shows, gigs, and you forget how inspiring and fulfilling a live audience can be.
Nothing to hide behind there.
Nothing to hide, but yeah, terrifying for sure.
Yeah.
But obviously something new every night. For me, the character art, it's really nice to play, having spent years in the TV world, the stop start, the learn your lines, okay, you're in a little scene here and then you don't see it, comes out next year, to actually start the show at 7:30, go through the character's whole journey, you know, ending in a different place. It's quite a sense of achievement at the end of a night, actually. And it's a very emotional sort of ending for this particular performance, this show, which you'll see if you come, but quite jarring, and quite everyone's having a breakdown at the end, basically. But yeah, so to go start to start,
but you
to
will
finish.
Come out whistling the tunes.
Well, yes, you will, actually. You will.
Yeah, it's some great music.
The music's been reorchestrated for a bluegrass band, so they are the songs, you know, in a slightly different context, you know.
I mean, it sounds fantastic. So like Sam said, if you want to go, be quick about it. And not, I mean, your castmate in Nashville, the television show, Mr. Charles Esten, yeah. Chip to his friends and neighbors, also started in the theater.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
I think his first big gig was playing Buddy Holly, which I can't remember which theater was at, but
yeah, when we had him in here, he was like, "Oh, just down the road."
When I played
there.
Buddy, you know, it's one of his great anecdotes.
Walking down memory lane.
It's actually my first audition for Buddy, I think.
Oh, really?
Straight out of drama school.
The same production that he was in.
Yeah, yeah, because I think it was here for many years.
Yeah, that would have been something.
Don't quote me on that, but yeah, I didn't get it.
Well, let's move on.
Then. You know, no comparison to Chip.
We're going to talk about you reuniting with Chip in a moment for. Nashville, the reunion tour, which is coming over to the UK soon. But let's go back, because and I'm sure you've told this story many times, but it's great for people to hear, because if people know you from the television show Nashville, and more and more people discovering the television show Nashville every day, producer Adam over here in the corner has just started watching it, through series one. That seems like, for you, it must have happened quite quickly. Like, I think I've heard before you basically auditioned on Skype or Zoom or whatever you use. So tell us that story.
It was 2012. I just left the theatre. I decided that I'd...
And where were you living at this point?
So I was here in the centre of London. So actually, I was playing a lot of bands as a kid, you know. So rock bands and doing the theatre thing as well. Moved to London, went to drama school, went to Rosebery for college. And they did this amazing actor musician degree. So you could train as a straight theatre actor, but also everybody played instruments on this course. So you'd be doing Shakespeare and plays and writing scores and bringing live music into theatre. Very much like what I'm doing in this production of Oklahoma.
Very much the trend at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of the perfect comparison. And so I'd done a few years in the theatre, but I'd always loved TV and film. And as I trained predominantly as a theatre actor, I think we had 2 or 3 weeks at the end of our 3-year degree, which was like, here's how to act on camera. You're like, okay, right, I've got 2 weeks to learn how to, which is actually a huge part of the industry, obviously. So I'd gone, well, I really want to lean into this. And at the time, now I think about it, I had this agent who, I remember saying to her, you know what, is there any chance I might be able to get an audition for something for the screen? You know, anything, a little bit part in something. And she just went, oh, darling, you know, I was about 22 or something. Oh, darling, you know, you're just a little bit nothingy. Oh, if you had an accent or something, you know, if you had a Scottish accent, I could get you a little part in this but you know, you're doing your theatre thing very well and just keep doing that, you know. So I thought, oh yeah, I'm a bit nothingy, yeah, maybe. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not. So I fired her.
Good.
And I started doing a couple of acting, like sort of extracurricular screen acting classes at the Actors' Centre here in the in central London, just off Seven Dials. And did a casting director workshop and with this wonderful woman, Kelly Valentine Hendry, and she was like, you know, you've got something, I'm going to put you in touch with yada yada yada. So had a little bit of a confidence boost there, and then I got this American manager at the beginning of 2012, and the first thing she sent me was this script for Nashville, which was at the time looking for actors who could really sing, who could really play. They didn't want to they didn't want to fake it. They didn't want to do the whole, you know, just air strumming, you know, hands moving up and down a guitar, no chords kind of thing. So I thought, yeah, this is right in my wheelhouse. And at that point, I'd been really into sort of 70s folk and was diving into that Laurel Canyon thing and Neil Young and Crosby, Stills, Nash. And, you know, my dad being like, have you heard this record? And no, I haven't. And, you know, I discovered James Taylor, who became like one of my heroes. And so, yeah, it came at a really great time musically for me. So I played a James Taylor song for the audition. And
which one?
You Can Close Your Eyes. Okay. Beautiful little sort of B-side.
And this was on Skype?
This was basically on... I had a really old laptop with some, you know, 1 megabyte camera or something. You know, who knows what it was. And just... I used to stay up so late. I still do, actually. But, you know, I probably put the tape down about 3 a.m. one night thinking... Well, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'm nobody, you know. We'll see what happens. And, yeah, a few days later, got a call being, ABC really like your audition tape. You know, you've got a chance. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they really like you, you know. Right. Skip a few days, and I got offered the job.
Just had to do that one audition?
So I did, yeah.
Wow.
I had to redo the tape. Because
they're like, do you have a better camera?
Basically, they were like, it's in your bedroom. We can see your bed. You know, go to this casting director, do it in an office with a better camera, and we'll use that for your screen test kind of thing. So I skipped this whole thing, which I later found out about, which was like pilot season, where you go to LA and you do 17 rounds, and then they screen test you and chemistry read you with, you know, I never met Claire Bowen, who played Scarlett. Which is crazy, really, because a lot of the industry at that point was definitely like chemistry read, get you in the room. Do we think they're the right pairing? Not sure. So I just got this job, and then they were like, right, off to Nashville in 2 weeks. Okay, turned up.
And you'd never been to Nashville
never
before.
Been to America. I was saving up to go out for pilot season. Pilot season, for those who don't know, is basically where the networks commission all their brand new shows for the first episode, and then they test them and see what happens, and maybe they turn into a show. So there's also like Nashville was a real gamble at that point, because it was just a one episode and who knows. But you sign that 6-7 year contract on day one, and I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. And then 6-7 years later, we wrap. Oh, that happened.
What was it like when you got to Nashville?
It was pretty amazing, really.
But I guess also you're kind of, in some ways, in a bubble as well, because you're there to do this job with a bunch of other people to do this job.
True.
So probably, on the one hand, a great way to make your first trip over, and on the other hand, you're like, what's over there?
Yeah. I guess so much about the history of the music that had been created there, you know. We were shooting this TV show, but at the same time walking around and exploring and going to studios and walking Music Row and going, oh, wow, you know, Elvis recorded here, Dolly Parton recorded here. This is where this happened, you know. The Grand Ole Opry, all this stuff that was quite alien to me, but really exciting.
Because I suppose even if you don't know the kind of lineage or the history or the importance of something, you can kind of feel it in those places anyway when you get there, even if you don't know the history of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
There's something that you can feel when you're in that building.
I remember, like, when I got the audition, Googling, like, right, country music. Because I didn't know anything about it. You know, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't like, country music's my thing. Here's my shot. Fantastic. I'm doing what I want to do. Obviously, I appreciate all sorts of music and was just really excited to... But I remember... being like, right, country music, Nashville, you know, search, Grand Old, what the hell's that? Grand Old Opry. Okay, click. Oh, it's a radio show. And then, like, finding a little digital radio and putting it on and being like, oh, this is cool. And I think it was, should have been a cowboy and we roll the dice. What's that song?
Breaking
the young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy.
I should have been a cowboy. Toby Keith!
There we go, Toby Keith.
Lord have mercy.
Anyway, just being like, wow, this Grand Ole Opry thing sounds cool. And then 3 weeks later, I was there filming at the Opry, like, wow. And actually met Kate Taylor, who was James Taylor's sister, that night. And I love your brother, and I just auditioned with his song for this show, and oh my God, I'm here. And yeah, we became friends.
She's like, good for you, honey.
Yeah, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Bless your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
What were the culture shocks like for a Brit, having never been A, to America, B, to Nashville, which is a very specific kind of thing in its own right? Culture shocks.
It was probably more of a cholesterol shock.
Right, yeah.
Because you go, that looks good. What's this? Biscuits and gravy. Oh. What? Ooh, what's that? Oh, that looks good. What's that? You know, triple stack pancakes. Oh, yeah. So just how friendly everybody was. And that's why I've stayed. You know, I still live there. It's the show finished in 2018. But
yeah, so you could have left.
Yeah,
you could have been like, okay.
I could have been like, cool, that job's finished. But I was like, no, this is a really important city to me. It has been through a very formative period of my life, and so welcoming. And we really felt that the industry was supporting us. You know, we could have been this show that came in and everyone was like, get out of town. You know, like, look at these actors, like, trying to fake this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but doing a terrible job of representing our city. But
really embraced by the,
really
not
embraced,
only the city,
yeah,
but also the country music community,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and of course, just all the, you know, we had so many amazing cameos on our show,
yes,
throughout the years, which was a testament to, yes, they wouldn't have been on it if they, you know, we had all sorts.
Yeah,
literally.
I mean, they
so many stars.
Brad Pays,
Carrie Underwood, Reba, you know, everyone. So they signed off on us. So
you also got to play like some of the most iconic venues in not just Nashville, but in kind of music in general. You mentioned the Grand Ole Opry and, of course, the Ryman, the Bluebird Cafe. What's your favourite one that you play? And, of course, you now get to play them as Sam Palladio.
Yes, true, true. Well, some of the crazy things was that at the time we didn't realise what an impact it would have, the show would have globally.
Yes.
So I was thinking, cool, I go to America and do this American TV show and it'll be shown in America. Oh, no, we were in like 75 countries worldwide. Mm. So the response over here in the UK and Europe was huge. So we talk about like playing venues and stuff, and of course, yes, the Ryman, it's hallowed ground, amazing venue. But then the opportunities that came a few years later were, oh, we get to do three shows at the Royal Albert Hall. We got to sell out the O2 Arena with the Nashville tour, and so some of those things are still like pinch me moments. And it was all a bit of a blur, honestly, because the show, we did 6 years and 10 months of each year would be a season. So you go, wow, you know, little break in the summer, little break at Christmas. But so those that timelines do swirl in and out for me a little bit.
I bet.
Some of those real place markers are, yes, oh, that was the year we did this. That was the year we did the O2. Wow, look at that.
Was it a slow burn for you in terms of like you, Sam, realizing, A, this show is huge, and B, oh, people know who I am now? Or was it kind of one of those things where it just happened and you were like,
thing.
Oh, here we are?
It was certainly in Nashville, it was madness, because at that point, after the show started airing, tourism has always been huge there, obviously, but it really did start to explode. So, yeah, in the city, we were in a bit of a bubble because you couldn't really tell, because, we were megastars, you know, in Nashville, couldn't go anywhere. And, you know, initially you're like, oh, this is cool as hell, you know.
And were people like, you're British?
Yeah, and everybody, the boys from Busted were coming in down here at the studio. Oh, my God, lovely to meet you. And they're like, we watched all of Nashville. I'm like, you're British? Where are you from? Like, Cornwall. What? So it's...
they still don't know.
Yeah, yeah, they still don't know, which is great, which is...
That's a testament to your American accent.
Yeah, yeah. So I always love that when people go, wow, I had no idea.
So you just suddenly, like, you're in this bubble, this is all happening, and then, you know, you step out of this bubble and there's
and
people
then,
screaming your name.
Yeah. Gunner! We love you, Gunner! But yeah, and it's certainly translated over here as well, so it's been good. But that level of sort of success, that it's really nice to meet fans, and it's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't imagine what Taylor and Ed do, you know, on a daily basis, you know, how you get around that sort of level. But certainly the music community embraced us, and fans were more than just that kind of Comic Con, like, I want to meet this actor.
Yeah.
It was like your music, and obviously the music was chosen for us to an extent on the show, but amazing song choices, you know, from T-Bone.
Well,
Burnett.
That's the thing. The music is so good.
Yeah,
like, it still stands up. I mean, we
of
still,
course,
some
yeah.
of it's on our playlist. It still pops up.
Yeah, there's
stuff from Nashville that absolutely holds its own.
Yeah, definitely.
Amongst all the other country music that we play on the station.
So I think fans were able to, one, enjoy the show as a piece of entertainment, and then take away the songs and have them on their journeys to work and,
yeah,
and you know, really get to have a relationship with those songs, which is... just extend, you know, continued for 10 years. And I think we were talking earlier, it's a relatively timeless piece in terms of music choices and that window. You know, there's not lots of dodgy CGI. It's like,
yes,
we're
yes.
at the Grand Ole Opry, we shot there, where we shot at the Bluebird, we're here on Broadway, you know.
Yeah, there's not a green screen.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from when I did an episode with Elton John, and they green screened in a few extra thousand fans.
But, yeah. Sure, sure, but that's fine. Well, that's fine. I mean, a lot of people, you know, ask me in different things that I do, like, oh, when do you think the moment that country music started to kind of have this, you know, renaissance or whatever people like to call it in the UK? And one of the things I always say is Nashville, the show, because it really did. Because you didn't have to like country music to be into that show.
No,
you could. It's just a great. Yeah. Show and a great story, and you know, you get sucked into it quite easily, and then almost by stealth, you know, if you're not a country fan, you suddenly find yourself going, oh,
what is this?
But then of course what happened after that is it lives on. So you know, not a lot of television shows have this this kind of long of a tale, as it were, because not only are people still rediscovering it and people still listening to the music, but you guys as a cast then get to have your own actual music careers outside of Nashville, and things like Nashville the Reunion Tour, which is coming back to the UK, are still absolutely, you know, popular, and people cannot wait.
Yeah.
So for you kind of going into this with some of your mates from the show, obviously we'll get music from the show, but presumably we also get some of your Charles Esten and your music, and Claire Bowen, Jonathan Jackson. You guys are playing Manchester, Glasgow, Birmingham, Cardiff, and London, by the way. Tickets in the Absolute Radio ticket store. So presumably it's a mix of that. It's your music and it's Nashville music.
It is, and that's what's always been great about us doing these tours, is that it's not us stepping up in character, you know, but I'm not Gunnar Scott, you know, I'm Sam Palladio. And so the beauty of the show was that everybody was a great singer, songwriter, had music careers before. Jonathan Jackson has had a great band, E Nation, for a long time, that's really cool ambient rock, you know. So certainly the reunion tours are about, here's a few songs that you'll know from Nashville and you love, but here's an insight into us as creators and as songwriters and as artists. And so, you know, this last 2 years for me has been all music, really. So I cut my first record and it's all ready to roll. So I'm going to be debuting some songs on the tour.
When's that coming out?
We don't have a date yet, but it's
bet you do,
imminent.
But okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's imminent. So I'm hoping to maybe have a first tune out.
Okay.
While, you know, in October for
well,
the
let
tour.
Us have
so
a little listen.
I will certainly let you guys.
We've got a big antenna on top of this building, so you know, we
yeah, you can get it out to a few. That'd be good. So it's been a really beautiful couple of years making the record that is me, honestly, and it took a long time to figure out where that was, because I grew up playing in rock bands. I spent a decade in Nashville absorbing country and Americana, and then found some middle ground of actually wrote everything over here in England, and that was the penny drop for me, is that I need to get back to my back home, and I lost my mum a couple of years ago, and that was really, you know, it's really difficult, but formed such a huge part of this new collection of songs, that because I wrote so much over the 6-7 years being in Nashville on Music Row with great country writers and a lot of American songwriters, and then thought, oh, there's something missing. I need to do this in England, I think. So so I did, and that's become the backbone of this project that will be coming very soon. So the tour will be some highlights of this new project, some Scarlett and Gunnar classics, some, you know, group numbers, an amazing band behind us.
Anything from Oklahoma?
Maybe. I'm sure the cast will come along. There's a bright golden haze.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, we should wrap up. We could talk all day, but you got things to do. You got to get on stage.
Got to get to the theatre.
What's your days like doing? Because you said you're a night owl.
Yeah.
So theatre, perfect for you. And you know, here you are in central London, just around the corner from the theatre. So are you kind of a late riser, and then you go? What kind of life are you leading?
What an 8-show week was like.
Yeah, that's heavy.
It's heavy.
And it's a big show.
It's a big emotional show for me. There's a lot of moving parts. It's like I said, it's a real challenge in a great way. So, you know, when I took the job, I was like, great. I just work in the evenings, you know, I can do full days of this and that. And I have been doing a lot of songwriting and working on a few tunes with some producers over here. So there has been a bit of work in the afternoons. But yeah, when you suddenly, you know, you do like 2 shows on a Wednesday, and then you think like, right, well, Thursday, I don't go to the theatre till 5. So great, I'll fill. And then Thursday morning runs around. You're like, oh, I wish I hadn't booked all this press and then run to the studio and then I'll try and go to the gym because I'm eating a
I feel that's quite pointed, actually, since you're sat here doing press.
There we go, you know. But things like this, mate, you know, you don't pass up the opportunity to say hello
to
you.
The last time we saw each other, Mara Morris gig, you were opening up for Mara Morris.
I was, yeah.
Her only UK solo show. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like you're exactly putting your feet up when you're not on stage.
There we go, yeah. And that was the most intense because I'd done 3 weeks of rehearsal and then my opening night was the Monday. Wednesday I had the night off to come do the Marin show. So I was kind of rehearsing my band in the evenings whilst rehearsing the play in the afternoons. Opening night, great. And then, right, now I've just got to put the music head back on and go do this Marin show, which was amazing. And thanks to everybody that came out and a great chance to try some of these new songs out that you'll hear on the tour. But yeah, I like to keep busy, you know.
You're busy. I mean, maybe we'll see you as a prince again as well.
Favorite
incarnation.
The old Princess Switch on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I can't get enough of that.
Yeah, that's another gift that keeps giving every Christmas.
I bet, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I was in that trilogy of movies with Vanessa Hudgens, and here everybody comes, yeah, it's that time again. And then you get the fans that are like, it's July and I'm watching it. You're like, why? Why are you watching it? But hey, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, it's very popular. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, everything you touch turns to gold.
No,
Sam.
I'm not sure about that. But.
So lots of chances to get a new album on the way at some point.
Yeah.
Nashville, the reunion tour, coming to the UK. You can get your tickets, Absolute Radio Ticket Store. Let's play out with the song from the show Nashville. What shall we play?
Ooh, the go-to and my favourite's Always Fade Into You. Myself and Claire Bowen, a great Scarlett and Gunnar duet that sort of started the journey for the characters and the musical life of the show.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.